And it's great when Bernie Kosar is with us, as he always is each week here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Bernie, how was your weekend?
Good weekend. A little crazy with between March Madness, Selection Sunday, and then the draft news.
Yeah. Kind
of put us all in perspective.
Let's start right there. Of course, the trade between the Washington Redskins and the St. Louis Rams. Not going to be official until tomorrow, but we can talk about it today. And it's a blockbuster and, of course, impacts the Browns because of a lot of the thought that this team, the Browns, would have maybe even the best position of making that the deal that the Redskins did. But what it comes down to with me, Bernie, is seeing a team that gave up an awful lot to get one player. And when I think about the ramifications of first rounders in the next 2 years for the Redskins, plus a second rounder this year, I just at that face value, I'm having a hard time. My football, the soundness of my football mind says I don't want to give up all of that for one guy.
Well, let me even add on to that line of thinking. We all have loved football. We all have paid attention to the certain interesting personalities that we're blessed with in our league. And Daniel Snyder is one of them, and the owner, God bless him, for Washington to have the wherewithal to come in and purchase a team like that. God bless him. That's an awesome ability to have. But his history has showed as owner that whether it's a player or a coach or whatever, when he decides he wants something, nothing's going to get in his way, whether it's a coach like Schottenheimer, Joe Gibbs coming back, Mike Shanahan, players like Deion Sanders, Albert Haynesworth, all those guys, Bruce Smith at the end, trying to sign guys to put them over the edge. When he decides he wants something, he's going to get it. And I actually think even if the Browns would have topped that offer, which would have been aggressive, I know the Washington Redskins and Daniel Snyder and Mike Shanahan went all in, and they were going to top it again. So if it took three number ones and a number two, and that was topped by somebody, I fully believe that they would have come back with a couple number twos and a fourth number one, but they were going to win this battle. And because of the relationships with Jeff Fisher and Bruce Allen, the Shanahans, the Demoffs, whether it's Agent Marvin or his son, who is the president of football operations for the St. Louis Rams, that communication between those two organizations, they were going to allow probably Washington to get the last word in and have the opportunity to outbid whoever it was. And I think Daniel Snyder made the decision they were going to outbid at whatever the costs were.
Yeah, that, you know, looking at it with that kind of logic, it does put you in a thought process that it would be impossible for the Browns or anyone else to trump that.
Because
if you always have the last chance to bid and you can always go one pick more or whatever it might be to make your bid better, then yeah, I think it's very difficult. Now, from the Browns' perspective, you know, the reports, media reports were that they would have been willing to give up two firsts. And I'm not exactly sure what, but the two firsts and then no second this year. And I see that. I mean, I get that. I get the idea of wanting to keep a second rounder at least so that you have the opportunity to not only get a quarterback with one of those first two picks, presumably RG3, but you also have the chance to get somebody to help him out. And look, Bernie, I was all excited about this, about this guy and about the prospect of this guy possibly becoming a Brown. I've been as excited about it as anybody, and I'm disappointed to not, you know, see the Browns with the chance to make this happen. But that said, there had to be a reasonable way to do it. I think my excitement would have been quickly tempered if I saw this team make a deal that would therefore make it much more difficult for the Browns to put any help around the guy.
Well, again, I'm extremely high on him also. But again, I even just go back to what we were just talking about. Even if it was the 4th, the 22nd, the 37th, next year's number one, even if it was all of that, I just think Daniel Snyder made a decision and Mike Shanahan that they are all in, and they were going to top that no matter what, at any cost, to get this guy. So I'm not even sure anything was really doable other than a complete torching of everything, which, you know, yeah. When you start going four or five number ones, I mean, that borderlines on ridiculous. But I find it an interesting matter. What does that mean if Peyton Manning would have stayed in Indianapolis? If Robert Griffin III is worth that at number two, what would Andrew Luck be worth at number one? Yeah. And if Peyton stayed, could he have gotten four number ones or number twos and all that to just restockpile the Indianapolis Colts immediately with Peyton Manning as their quarterback for the next few years?
Bernie Kosar with us, as he always is here, on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. So what does this mean for RG3? What if this is, in fact, the way it's going to play out, with him being the second pick and the Colts don't turn around and surprise everybody by taking RG3 first and leaving Luck for the Redskins? Or else I could just phrase it this way. What does it mean for the guy at quarterback taken second overall by the Washington Redskins, given what they've parted with, their fan base, their team, their fan base, everybody connected with the Washington Redskins has expectations that are not just through the roof, but through the stratosphere?
Yeah, they will be. And I think me and you got a taste of him at the combines. And he showed that his personality, maturity level, professionalism is going to be able to handle and talk and do the right things and work the hardest to live up to those expectations. I think both the young quarterbacks, RG3 and Andrew Luck, are really put in as challenging, as tough a situation as any young quarterback's been in a long time, with all the media, with all the attention. That giving up of that trade for the second pick, replacing Peyton Manning with the first in Indianapolis, those two young men are going to be under enormous pressure like no other quarterback has probably seen before.
And you've lived this, Bernie, not to that degree as far as team investment, but there was that, you came into this league in a very high-profile way, supplemental draft pick by the Browns, and there was a lot of maneuvering even prior to that, as we've talked about before on this show, to see if a team would bring you in, or get the picks to bring you in. But here's the thing. Do you care about that as the player? Do you think about that? And how do you manage that in your mind?
No, as a young player, at the end of the day, the business of sports, the business of football, really isn't something that's on the forefront of your mind. When you're in the facility, when you're around the guys, when you're in the meeting rooms, when you have a chance to play, you're so obsessed, so laser focused on what do I need to do to make this team good, to make these plays, to do my job. You always hear Bill Belichick and all of his things when he's wired, do your job. And that attention to yourself and being productive and the singular focus of just that really overrides everything if you're going to be successful. Now, if you want to fail, start thinking about all the expectations. Start thinking about everything that's going on. Get off task. Get off the specifics of doing your job, and you're going to increase the percentages of making mistakes.
And then the other part of the equation is how much help can you provide this player when you bring him in? And, you know, that's the immediate question facing the Redskins. Again, on the assumption it's RG3, or even if by some chance it turned out to be Andrew Luck, in either case, they are not equipped over short term and even longer term necessarily to get him all the help he needs, unless indeed they make a big splash in free agency and bring in pass catching talent that way.
Yeah, and again, history has showed that you're really, really rolling the dice, and the house usually wins when you go down that path. That has not been a successful recipe, given history, to do that. So they paid a steep price. It would have been probably even steeper if there was more bidding, but they still were going to get this. it's going to be challenging for them. I'm not as specific as to all of their depth and youth and players on their team. Last year, they were one of the teams that was doing a lot of trading back and a lot of stockpiling of mid to late round picks last year and this year. So it's imperative for a team like that, imperative that they have success and find stuff in that third, fourth, fifth round and try to hope they hit a couple on those, or the cupboard's going to be a little bare for the team to either have weapons for RG3 or defensively to stop people.
Well, when we come back, we're going to talk more about this situation, the trade between the Redskins, Rams, and how it impacts the Browns, how it impacts their draft strategy, but also how it might impact their free agent strategy. And, of course, that begins tomorrow, free agency, so we'll delve into that as well. We are continuing our conversation with Bernie Kosar, the one and only, a regular here on Cleveland Browns Daily. It's driven by Liberty Ford. It's brought to you by Madden NFL 12 in stores now. EA Sports, it's in the game. Back with Bernie Kosar, making his regular visit to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. So, Bernie, the other take on this trade that the Redskins Rams pulled off is where it does leave the Browns. It's still a team that I would think has interest in doing something quarterback-wise, but it's not just with any guy. If they were, in fact, gearing up to try to make as big a deal as possible or within reason to get Robert Griffin III, that's because they targeted, I guess, either RG3 or Andrew Luck, because no assumptions on what the number two overall pick will lend to you, but in terms of the two special quarterbacks that were there. So now that that's out of the equation, you're not, I don't think, going into this draft just saying we've got to get somebody at that position. And of course, free agency is part of this equation as well. But right now what we do know is the Browns have the 4th and 22nd overall pick, and the Rams have been stockpiled with picks. So that's one team that could be a suitor, perhaps, to maneuver its way with the Browns or other teams. But I would think the Browns can still be very attractive to trade possibilities.
Absolutely. The rookie salary cap or rate wage scale or however you want to call it has really taken salaries down in the first round and definitely in the top 5 picks and the top 10 picks, almost 50%. So a guy like Sam Bradford got 50-some to almost $60 million as the number one pick of the draft. Cam Newton, I think, got 25 to 30 million. It makes it very cost effective to and very advantageous to have those picks. A lot of teams are talking about the same things that the Browns are talking about. We need playmakers, we need difference makers. And when you see a team like Washington that felt enough to basically give up their draft to get RG3 or their top end of their draft for the next few years, you never know what teams are going to want and fall in love with a specific player. And we all know there's the names of some of the top-tier guys that have been bantered about. And there may be interest, maybe not, probably not at the level, won't be at the level of Andrew Luck or RG3, but at the level of being advantageous to at least consider doing things to acquire difference makers, because there's only X amount of elite players, and some teams will do whatever it costs to get them.
Yeah, and then the other part of this equation is free agency. And for the Browns, does this scenario or the way this trade played out between the Redskins and Rams make the Browns more apt to try to get Matt Flynn and try to go into free agency with that in mind, knowing too that there's going to be some other teams that will have that interest in Flynn. So you and then you have the Peyton Manning dynamic also dictating how this quarterback saga is going to unfold in free agency.
No doubt about it. I mean, so goes Peyton Manning. So goes quite a few dominoes right now. I mean, it's so interesting over the weekend. I find it incredibly fascinating that teams with veteran, proven winners, whether it's Matt Cassel and Lamar Hunt saying, I want Peyton Manning, Tennessee Titans, Bud Adams, has Matt Hasselbeck, had a fantastic first year there, helping the groom. Jake Locker, the eighth pick of the draft, those two are friends for the future of the team. Saying, I want Peyton Manning. The big trade that Arizona made for Kevin Cobb with Philadelphia last year, 1 year into it, and they're saying, I want Peyton Manning. Tim Tebow, an amazing year last year, beat the Steelers in the playoffs game, and they want Peyton Manning out there. So it's incredible to the length that some people are going to go to try to pull this off. Whoever doesn't go out has probably damaged the feelings of their quarterback, a.k.a. the Jets. Look at how they overpaid and just guaranteed Mark Sanchez an extra $10 million because they flirted in the Peyton arena and were turned back. There's going to be a lot of teams probably then, if they lose out on the Peyton Manning thing, I think Seattle's going to be one of them too. And for sure Miami, if they don't land Peyton, they'll heavily be interested in Matt Flynn, I believe.
Yeah, so there's going to be some kind of a market for Flynn. Visiting with Bernie Kosar on his weekly stop here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. There is presumably going to be some kind of a Flynn derby, and you wonder how much of it is. I mean, it'll always be driven by money. That much let's be realistic about. But on the assumption that if money starts becoming equal, he then has the opportunity to look at situations and what he could be surrounded by, what is the coaching aspect of it all. All of those things matter. I mean, he's going to take a hard look at every club that might have interest in him, and I don't know if the Browns are going to actually be one of them or not. There's a lot of speculation they would be, but then try to do some comparative shopping.
Well, and we're seeing the precursor to that right now this past weekend with Peyton Manning. That's exactly what he's doing, is comparative shopping, the situations, the teams. And what I'm guessing this, but I think likely he is looking at his best way to win and be in the playoffs. And isn't it interesting that his first two trips are to Denver, AFC West, and to Phoenix, NFC West, debatably two of the weakest divisions, some soft teams within the division. It's not like in the AFC East, he's got to play the Jets twice a year, Bill Belichick twice a year, an improving Buffalo Bills team twice a year. It's a tough road to the playoffs in our division with the Ravens, the Steelers, and the Bengals, and it's real tough in the AFC East. So Peyton could be looking at teams that, I'm not saying he's running away from competition, but an easier path to the playoffs. And that may leave Matt Flynn may do some similar things, looking at the money. Money may not be the end all, because the numbers are going to be so high, the ability to be successful and win. Because look at Kevin Cobb, got the money he wanted, but he couldn't win. And I think guys are going to look at their best chance to be successful on the field.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. I think it will be a matter of being choosy about your best and where you are in your career. Peyton Manning, at this point, it's only got to be about that more than anything else, more than money. It has to be situation, and it has to be sort of that what's the word? I guess I'm going to say face saving or the dignity saving type of thing, because he absolutely hates going out of Indianapolis the way he's gone out. But he wants to make them certainly feel, regret for not having him. And two, I think he wants the league as a whole to say, I'm still Peyton Manning. I've still got this. But there's a lot of proving there. With Matt Flynn, I see a guy who has to, of course, show, well, number one, he's a guy who's cashing in. And you could say, okay, he'll leave it at that. But it's got to be more than that, too. He doesn't want to be along a string of players who have gone the route of big splash, brief backup, splashes in backup reserve role performance, and then get into the starting role somewhere and disappear.
Absolutely. I mean, to go and, I don't want to say be a one-hit wonder, but a one-year or two-year thing, and win an off-season PR war in March, April, May, and then not being able to perform in November, December, January, I think is an imperative thing to really reflect on and try to get right and give yourself the best chance at getting it right. But you're right on, Matt Flynn has a little longer term horizon where he could grow with a team, as opposed to Peyton, who really wants to come into, I think, a team that is already winning and has a chance to go from winning to the elite level, as opposed to having to grow into being a good team.
And Bernie, trying to figure out the psyche of fans through the many years I've covered this league, through the many years you've played and been around it and talked about it, it's impossible. So it's like, why bother trying? But the psyche, the mentality that is definitely preeminent among Browns fans is, you know, show us your commitment by doing something big. And with regard to free agency, I know people have reacted and have sort of recoiled to hearing Tom Hekert say, we, quote, won't go crazy in free agency, and take that to mean that the Browns aren't going to do anything in free agency. They're going to be, like, on the sidelines and just watch and be very passive. And I'm not convinced that that's what not going crazy means. I think the definition of not going crazy is not doing what the Eagles did a year ago, Hekert's former team. But I also think it's somewhere between, you know, something like that and something that is – still addressing your needs or hitting some key areas and being selective and going into this process, you know, in an intelligent, in a methodical way. And I don't have a problem with that. Again, as long as some help is fine, I don't need to be knocked over by marquee name.
Well, you're right on. People want to have, show us your commitment. Show us you believe in the team. Show us your money. Put your money where your mouth is. They're all for that until that guy can't play. Right. Until it's Albert Haynesworth. Until it's, you know, I don't want to disparage any guy's names, but we all know of lots of names that we put our money where our mouth is. We showed our commitment. And then some of those same people are the first people to say, he stinks. Why'd you sign him? I can't believe you did that. So you really, I think you're right on with, not going crazy in free agency definitely doesn't mean, okay, we're not signing anybody. Filling holes, finding value, finding guys that could be part of your team for more than a year or two. Again, I'm really high. I know the fans may think I'm nuts with this. I'm like Brandon Jackson last year. He was having a fantastic camp.
Right.
And he got hurt, okay? But he would have made plays for us last year. That was a free agent signing. You know, finding guys that could fit a role and come in and make plays and be productive in a specific role is more the goal, as opposed to these grandiose, you know, Albert Haynesworth, again, $100 million contracts that, you know, are more missed than hit.
Right. Well, good stuff, Bernie. Tomorrow's going to be very, very interesting, of course, the start of free agency at 4 p.m. And you and I will be catching up again, and we'll talk about this stuff. But in the meantime, enjoy the ride.
Enjoy it. That's why we love our sport.
Okay. All right. He is Bernie Kosar joining us here, as he always does, on Cleveland Browns Daily. It's driven by Liberty Ford. It's brought to you by Madden NFL 12. In stores now. EA Sports, it's in the game.